Well, our God will not share his glory with another, and God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great things he has done, not great things we have done, right? Right. Well, if you have your New Testaments today, turn to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, and our scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 15, and I will read verses 21 to 28 for our public scripture reading today on this Mother's Day. And if you have it there, and if you are willing and able, I invite you to stand for the a reading of God's holy and inspired word. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Version. You can listen along as I read or follow along in the translation you have, or just look behind me at the screen, and let's pay attention to this wonderful and challenging passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. And let's pray together. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here on this first day of the week, that we might gather together as your people, enjoy each other's company and fellowship with you, to sing, to pray, to give, and to give attention to your words. Lord, we tremble at the words that you have inspired of this account. And Lord, as it challenges us this day, Lord, might it spur us on to faith in you and in the work of your beloved Son, who is our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, as is always the case in our calendar, Mother's Day always lands upon the Lord's Day, and today we want to attempt to honor them both. We want to honor our Lord because to him be the glory, great things he has done. But we also want to use our time to honor our mothers and motherhood. To be a wife and a mother is really the highest calling that a woman can attain to. There is really no greater goal. It is something that no man could ever attain, and it is a great thing for a woman to become a mother. And our Lord commands us to honor our mothers, and for the God-given roles that he has given them and that they play and perform in our lives. Our mothers are the ones who got us here. They're the ones that gave us life. They nurtured our life. They prepared us for life. In our text today, we meet a rather remarkable mother. She is an amazing woman, and maybe her most amazing quality was her amazing faith. And her faith was seen, because this amazing woman had a rather large problem in life, that was, the catalyst to demonstrate her faith. And her problem, had to deal with her child. Maybe that's every woman's problem, is her child, and every mother knows that a child's problem is a mama's problem. And in fact, a mama's biggest problem is when her child has a problem. And this mother's child had a terrible problem. The text says that she was not just demon-possessed, but cruelly so. Cruelly demon-possessed. And so this was a lady in dire straits. A mother whose heart was broken for her child who was broken. And there was but one who could fix the mother and fix the child, and that is our Lord, who is the great physician himself. And so in the text, we read that our Lord actually goes out of his way. He goes way out of his way to meet the need of this desperate mother. But the way that he did it, I don't know if you picked it up in the reading of the text, but the way that he did it almost rubs us the wrong way. I mean, did you cringe just a little bit when I read the text? I don't know, every time I read this here in Matthew 15 or the parallel account in Mark, it gives me a little shiver. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way in just a little bit. It is this text that surely clarifies and displays what we read in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, that God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his thoughts and his ways are so above our ways. And though we may not understand his ways are the best ways. And here in this rather uncomfortable text, I would say, the Lord of Mercy essentially puts an obstacle course in front of this very weary woman. She is tired, she is desperate, she is pleading for her daughter, and our Lord puts an obstacle course right in front of her to test her faith. And when we read the text and we see the way that this woman jumps each hurdle and conquers each difficulty, I tell you, it is an amazing testimony to her motherly love and to the genuine faith that would not be deterred, no matter how difficult the barrier was that our Lord placed right in front of her. She jumped every one of them, because she would not be deterred from the Lord whose mercy she was seeking. And in fact, this very unusual tactic, and might say an unnerving tactic that our Lord uses, also highlights the wisdom of our Lord and the graciousness of the faith in which he gave her, and the way that he coaxed the faith out of her, and the way that he mercifully met her most dire need. And so as we gather here today on this Mother's Day, whether you're a mother here this morning or whether you have a mother this morning, I guess all of us have a mother, right? You know, so I'm hoping that this text is in some way is going to apply to all of us. I imagine it will challenge all of us, but I hope it will encourage all of us to believe our Lord Jesus Christ, even when his words are very challenging to us. Because this woman, this mother is a hero of faith. She is a model of faith that we ought to look to her and how to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also see her as a great picture of motherhood. And so we're going to kind of try to tackle this difficult text under four headings. We're going to think about distance, silence, patience, and acceptance. First of all, distance. Look at verse 21. It says, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. You know, kind of just a transitional phrase here as it just kind of moves from one account into the next and talks about this district or this region or the coast of Tyre and Sidon that Jesus kind of, you know, heads over to Tyre and Sidon. And this is, you might say, one of these Passover texts. Sometimes we don't pay too much attention, but this is a very important detail in this verse that we shouldn't overlook. Because here we see that Jesus goes out of his way, you could say maybe way out of his way, in order to meet this woman and this desperate need that she had in her life. Because when it mentions Tyre and Sidon here, these places are outside the borders of Israel. They are beyond the borders of our Lord's usual path in the circuit in which he would walk back and forth during his ministry. It was outside of his normal stomping grounds. Here our Lord takes a very significant detour in order to deal with this desperate woman. Now I don't know about you, but with me, the placement and the distance between towns you read about in the Bible or places in the Bible really, it really just doesn't automatically register with me. You know, you hear about Jerusalem and Nazareth and Capernaum, and you hear these towns, Tyre and Sidon, and you take note of them, but I don't know where they fit in relation to each other, because it's not my stomping grounds. I didn't grow up there. I don't really kind of know how they fit in relation to each other. And so I don't usually factor in the distance between towns, but I think in this case it's really helpful to do so. And for me, because I don't know the nation of Israel very well, it's helpful for me to correlate it to a familiar place. I grew up here. I know Oklahoma a little bit, and so if you kind of place a map of Israel over the top of my stomping grounds around here, it kind of gives me a little bit of a different or a helpful perspective. And so, you know, I hope this isn't too much in the weeds here, but if you think about the nation of Israel from south to north, you might start at Bethlehem, the place where our Lord was born. Bethlehem's about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem you go north 40 or so miles, and you get to this area of Samaria, and you go up another 20 or so miles, and you got the town of Nazareth that Jesus grew up in, and then over kind of to the northeast a little bit, you got the Sea of Galilee, and then at the very north of the Sea of Galilee, you have Capernaum, where our Lord kind of headquartered his ministry. And if you kind of take this area that our Lord ministered in, and if you laid it over the top of Oklahoma, it might sound a little bit like this. Bethlehem might correspond to Wynnewood. It's just a small little town, just kind of a little bit south of Paul's Valley, which you might say with Jerusalem. And then you go up north from Paul's Valley a little bit, and you get to the area of Oklahoma City, which would be like the area of Samaria. And then a little bit north of that, you have Nazareth or Edmond. And then just to the northeast of Edmond, you have Lake Arcadia. And if Lake Arcadia was really, really big and extended all the way up to almost Guthrie, you would have Capernaum. And so that's kind of our Lord's area of ministry. From north Guthrie all the way down to south in Wynnewood. And Jesus, in his lifetime and in his ministry, mainly traveled, you could say, straight up and down I-35. Just kind of right up, you know, in between Guthrie, maybe going down to Wynnewood. That was just kind of his circuit. He was born in Wynnewood, and yes, he was a refugee and had to go down to West Texas just a little bit, but he came back, and his parents didn't want him to stay in Wynnewood, but now we're just going to go up north, he grew up in Edmond. And he headquartered just a little north of Edmond up in the Guthrie area. Every now and again, a few times a year, he would go south to Wynnewood, south to Paul's Valley for Passover and other special times. But just this 85-mile about circuit north to south, that's where our Lord stayed. That's where he ministered. And so read this verse 21, and Jesus went away from there, and he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. It would be as if it said, you know, Jesus was hanging out in the Guthrie area. He was at Big Lake Arcadia. And he says to his disciples, you know, why don't we just walk on over to Enid? Let's just take a little trek about, you know, northwest a little bit. Let's just go about 40 or 50 miles out of our normal circumference. Let's just go way out of the way and head over to Enid. And so Jesus goes away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, outside the borders, outside his normal area of operation, where he normally ministered to people. It says, I think we need to keep in mind the distance here, because Jesus goes way out of his way, way out of his normal travels to meet this desperate woman. Jesus takes a very significant detour in life to help this lady. And it's important to note this distance, because I think that fact will help us out of a dilemma that we're going to find ourselves in here in just a bit. Remember, our Lord is going way out of his way. Walking, I don't know, how long does it take to walk 40, 50 miles? You know, it's a big effort to walk from Guthrie to Enid. And so that's distance. But then notice the silence. Jesus leaves the Guthrie area, if you will, and instead of going south like he would usually do, he heads kind of northwest to Enid, to Tyre and Sidon. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began crying out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." So here in this foreign town that our Lord has ventured into, this Canaanite woman meets him, and she cries out to him in her anguish. And she does so in a very, very respectful manner. She acknowledges his position. She calls him Lord. She acknowledges his place and his authority in Israel. He's the Son of David. He's from the royal line. He is the King of the Jews. And so she's very, very respectful in presenting her plea before this one who could save her from this desperate situation that she was in. And notice it says that she's a Canaanite. She's a foreigner, because our Lord is in a foreign land, and she is addressing the King of the Jews. She is one that by her very birth, by her very existence, is separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant and to the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And so this foreign woman is begging before the Jewish king, "Lord, please help me." He's come into her jurisdiction, into her territory, and she is begging him, "Please help my daughter." And she is in desperate need of help. notice what she said. Have mercy on me, Lord, at the end of verse 22. Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Must be bad enough just to have a child that is demon-possessed, but one that is cruelly demon-possessed? I mean, I can't even imagine how the heart of a mother must break in a situation like that. Well, how does our Lord react to this desperate mother pleading before him, Lord, please help me. Please help my daughter. In verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. Jesus is silent in her sorrow. I mean, imagine the scene. Imagine how she received his silence. He doesn't answer her a word. Jesus didn't immediately rescue her. He says, oh, I got it. I'll take care of it. He ignored her. There is a deathly silence, if you will, a non-response. You mean the King of Israel is here, this one that I have heard that can heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, and he's right here and I'm begging him and he won't even answer me? He won't say a thing? Does it ever seem like to you that sometimes God is ignoring your prayers? Have you ever had that that experience in life? It's not unusual for the people of God to feel like that. Even those that were closest to the Lord Jesus, Mary and Martha, there was a time, who were friends of the Lord Jesus, and they sent him word and said, hey, our brother Lazarus, the one you love, you're a really good friend in life, he's sick, can you please come and help him out? And the text says that our Lord waited a couple days. Waited until he died, in fact, before he decided to show up. And he shows up and the sisters are in mourning. Says, Lord, if you'd just been here, if you had answered our call, you could have fixed this. But our Lord was silent. And here for this desperate mother, our Lord is silent to her cries for help. You know, God's silence in the midst of our sorrow can become a big test of our faith. It's an obstacle course that our Lord often puts in front of us to see how we will respond. Our Lord is not, does not shy away from putting difficulties in our path, from putting hurdles and obstacles for which we must climb over in order to attain from Him that which we seek from Him. Psalm 13, listen to the first two verses of this psalm. Oh, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Oh, it is no strange thing for people to get silence from God when they initially cry out to God for help. And then from silence, you might say we move to patience. Because now the obstacle course gets a little more difficult for her. Look at verses 23 and 24. But he didn't answer her a word, and the disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. The disciples were kind of bugged by her bugging them. Get rid of her, Lord. Send her away. She keeps shouting. And then he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here our Lord finally speaks. He finally speaks up, but he doesn't speak to her. He speaks to the disciples. He answers their complaint because she was bugging them, but he answers in her hearing so that she could hear it. But what she heard must have been extremely disappointing. Here the king of Israel said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here he is standing in Tyre and Sidon with all of these sheep that aren't of Israel. Oh, how dejected she might have been when she hears the king says that the king of the Jews was sent first of all for the Jews. And here she is, a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician woman, a woman on the outside. And must she always be looking in, never to get mercy? It is instructive to note here that our Lord doesn't send her away. The disciples want to just get rid of her. He doesn't send her away, but he does make her wait. He makes her wait her turn. And in some way, know her place. Because one thing about God's good news in the gospel is that when God sends the gospel into the world, there is a pecking order to the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek and also for the Gentile. But the Jews get first in the pecking order, you might say. There is a proper pecking order, and Jesus says Jews get to go first. It is like algebra. There is an order of operation for how God's salvation works. And he says, okay, but I was come for the Jews. The Jews get it first. Jesus, yes, was to be a light for the Gentiles. And in the history of redemption, again, the Son of Righteousness was going to shine upon the whole earth. But at this point in the dispensation of time, the light shone first. The sun rose first over Israel. But oh, where does that put this lady? Wait, can I even get in on some of this? Another barrier. Another obstacle. But do you know that barriers to belief can help produce in us a greater belief? Look at verse 25. And she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. She worshiped him. She bowed before him. Okay, Lord, I'll bow. I'll worship this one who chooses. You're the one that picks the order of operation here, if that's what you say. And you say, I'm not first in line. That's okay, but that's not going to stop me from standing in line. You see, she continued to pursue mercy from the only one who could dispense mercy. I have no idea whether she understood what he said. I don't know if I understand what he says here. But she took it, and she worships, and she keeps asking, and her faith is getting stronger. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 and following. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. First she got silence, and now she is stuck in patience. And now it gets really difficult, and we'll see her acceptance. Because Jesus does finally answer her directly after she is bowing before him. And he answers her directly, but I'll have to say he does not answer her tenderly. Look at verse 26. And he answered, and he said, It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Does that make you squirm just a little bit? Does it seem a little bit, are you sure that, is that really what that says? You know, you ever read those parts in the Bible? Is that really in there? Is this really the inspired word of God? Here, the trial during her turmoil only increases from silence to patience. And now he seemingly insults her and calls her a dog. Do you ever find some of God's words hard to read? You read the scripture and like, I don't know about that one. That one really hurts. I don't know if I can quite swallow that. That's a really difficult saying. In fact, we had one of those, talked about it a few weeks ago. In fact, our Lord's saying was so difficult, many said, I'm out of here. No more of this. Do our Lord's words make it a little bit perplexing for you? Well, do we accept his sayings that make us uncomfortable and don't seem very palatable? Do we take his words even though I don't understand them and maybe they hurt me a little bit? And I find it very interesting that she doesn't debate his words. She accepts his words. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs. She took his words. She absorbed them. She planted them. And they quickly grew into a great and an amazing faith. You see, her faith found an opening in the confining obstacle that our Lord had put in front of her. That there was just enough space for her to wiggle through and get through to the mercy that she was after. It's almost as if she says, okay, Lord, you call me a dog. If I'm a dog, then I'm your dog. And even dogs get some crumbs, don't they? Don't they get just a little bit that fall from their master's table? I mean, I can't even understand this kind of faith that this mother had. A kind of faith that can squeeze through this crevice and through the insult and through the patience and through the silence and say, okay, Lord, but can't I have a crumb? Please, Lord, give me just a crumb of your mercy. I'll take a crumb. I don't want to take it from the children. Let the Jews have it. But I just want a little bit. Surely you can spare a little bit for my daughter. As the psalmist says in Psalm 84:10, oh, better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Well, if I could just get in the door, that's enough for me, Lord. I don't have to have a big spot, but I want in the house. Better a dog on the inside and under a table than to be a prince on the outside in all the tents of the wicked. It's like the prodigal son who comes back to the father and says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but just let me be a hired person. Just let me be a servant. Just let me be a dog in your house. Please. Give me a dog's portion, and I'll take it. And then in verse 28, and our Lord said to her, oh, woman, your faith is great, and it shall be done to you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. I tell you, this woman, I don't know her name, but she is a super mom, and she is a super woman of faith. She is in the hall of faith to have a faith in our Lord and his harsh words towards her. Now, as far as for us on this Mother's Day, whether you are a mother or have a mother, and how this might apply to us as we try to live out our life of faith, and maybe find ourselves, I'm sure, in a wide variety of dire straits. Difficult times in our life. Maybe a mother dealing with a sorrowful situation with a child, as this woman was. Well, first of all, do we find it hard to accept the way that our Lord ministered to this woman? Because oftentimes the way that our Lord ministered to this woman is the way that He ministers to us. We come to Him in our hard times, and there is silence, and then there is patience, and then there's got to be some acceptance of sometimes our Lord's difficult words to us. But we need to bear something in mind that might stir our faith along, but to remember that our Lord went way out of His way in order to be there to meet her need. Remember verse 21, he went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. He walked all the way from Guthrie to Enid just to meet this woman. And soon as he was through helping her, verse 29 says, then departing there, he came back to his normal route, the normal place in which he ministered. He had an appointment to meet this lady, an appointment to meet her need where she was at. Though he did go about it in a very uncomfortable way for her. And so whatever difficulty you might find yourself in today, remember, God has gone out of His way to meet our greatest need. And He went a lot farther than the Sea of Galilee over to Tyre and Sidon. He went farther from Guthrie to Enid. He left heaven above. And He walked all the way down to earth below. And do you know His very presence here is proof that He is here to minister to our most dire needs? That God the Father, that He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son way out of the way of heaven to come down here to us and to meet our needs. And yes, when He gets down here to us and He has some things to say, some of the things that He has to say rubs us the wrong way. It just does. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ insults us. He calls me a sinner. He says I'm not good at all. And that there's not one of us that's any good. He calls me evil. He says I was born in the wrong household, that I am at enmity with God, and in the household of Satan himself, that I am hell-bound, and I am helpless on myself. He insults me and in my integrity and what I think about myself. And He even tells me He has a chosen people. And sometimes we find ourselves perplexed. Am I included? You ever wondered if you're part of the sheep? Well, Jesus said He did have other sheep, you know, that are not of this fold. And He's going to bring them too. Have you ever wondered if you're included in the household? Well, Jesus says, all that the Father gives to me, they're going to come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. Here this woman, she came, and I'm only for the sheep of Israel. She kept coming. She kept coming, and guess what? The Lord did not turn her away. Because remember, the Lord went out of His way to meet her. And can I encourage you today that our God has gone out of His way to meet us? His presence here on earth is the proof. He came out of His way, and yes, sometimes He's silent toward us, and He causes us to have a little patience, and we've got to accept some of His rough words. But He pushes us through these obstacle courses to coax a gift of faith out of us so that we might trust in Him and cling to Him and find the answer to our greatest needs in life. Well, again, I will freely admit that this is a difficult text, but I hope this text encourages us to faith in our Lord on this Mother's Day. And if you will, why don't we stand, and we will have a concluding hymn of invitation. I believe the hymn is about faith. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but I need a little bit of the kind of faith that this lady had. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And this lady had a great faith, and our Lord did a great work in her life. May God work the same kind of faith in us so that He might work a great work in our lives. What are we singing here? Do we know what we're singing?
Faith is a victory.
Faith is a victory.
The battle earth and night shall veil the glorious skies against the foe in veils below. Let others wear. Faith is a victory. We know.
To be here on this Lord's Day / Mother's Day. If you return thanks for your mother, and a return thanks to God the Father above if He's given you the gift of faith. And might through His word today, I hope that it would increase our faith and encourage us to have more faith in our Lord, even in His difficult words in our difficult times. Well, we're not going to have services tonight, so don't come back at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, you'll be all by yourself. Stay at home. Enjoy your family. If you have a mother close by, then you can enjoy her. And I'll dismiss us with the word of benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, and may He be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face to you, and may you have peace on this day. And in all of your days, on that final great judgment day, amen, amen, and you are dismissed.